Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Everybody, we welcome you back to Nats Winterfest in the Nats team store right behind center field or the center field gate area. Everybody that has been here to Nationals Park knows where that is. Lots of World Series championship gear and memorabilia to buy. And we had Charlie Slows on to wrap up our first hour. We still have another hour here live on The Fan, and then we'll stay around until 3 o'clock to do some more interviews that you'll be hearing with me and Tom Lavero tomorrow morning starting at 9 a.m. Craig Heist and Byron Kerr will be here as well tomorrow afternoon as we bring you all the sights and sounds of Nats Winterfest celebrating a World Series championship. And joining us now is the other half of the dynamic duo that you hear on 106.7 The Fan and the Nationals Radio Network, part of the best broadcast team in Major League Baseball. I know a lot of people say that. I think we're very fortunate and lucky to have Dave Jagler and Charlie Slows each and every night and day and Nationals game. And Dave Jagler is here with us as well. How are you, sir?
Well, good. Interrupting the season of silence. Normally, I don't talk to him on air until February 22nd. So I don't know that this is appropriate. I mean, we could have us on separately, but together, this is.
I was just saying, I don't know if I have to separate you two guys or if you guys want to talk to each other.
Where's the jack of all things? We didn't fly in the jack for the trio.
I mean,
we're looking for February 22nd. We got the rematch with the Astros. That's the next time I'm going to see him.
That's true. The jack of all things is busy doing all other things. That's what he does, right? That's the moniker. Well, right? Yeah, exactly. So now that it's 2 months later, mm-hmm. You called all these games. You joined the franchise here in D.C.
Second year,
right?
Yep, 06.
So, I mean, you've called thousands of games. Mm-hmm. You guys have been paired. You've seen heartbreak. You've seen, just regular losses. You've seen a lot of wins. Now you've seen a World Series championship. What does that feel like?
Do you want to retire now? I mean, I've seen it all.
I don't want you to retire. I'm just saying, do you pitch yourself?
Yes. I mean, as the team was into the postseason, you're like, just once I'd like to be able to call a game selfishly in the NLCS. Right. I mean, I've called division series games. Just once in my career, it'd be great to call a game in the LCS. And then they get to the LCS. It's like, it'd be really great to call a game in the World Series. Just once. I don't care if they win. I just want to call the game in the World Series. And then they get to the World Series. And then I'd say, wouldn't it be great just to call a World Series winner just once? And then it happens. Now, wouldn't it be great to call a World Series winner twice?
Mm-hmm.
So, those games were ones that I'll cherish. And it's why you get into those business to have those moments. And for me, that moment professionally was the Kendrick Grand Slam.
Mm-hmm.
Charlie does the ninth inning. He gets the last out most of the time.
Right. And in other words, what you're saying is he's a Mike Hogg. He hogs the spotlight. He holds you down, right?
We're both on the air at the same time. But as far as when he feels the same thing. When one of you is doing play-by-play, the other, you're like this. You're a fan. It's like you're not driving the car.
Right.
When you're calling the game, you're in the mode of calling the game.
Right.
When you're analyzing the game, it's a little more tense.
Right.
And so, in that 10th inning of the Dodger game, the Kendrick ball is hit in the air. It's like, okay, this is the moment now.
Mm-hmm.
This moment as the ball is in the air, it's going to replace the Jason Worth home run to this point, the iconic moment in the franchise history.
Yeah.
How are you going to call it? Are you gonna make a call that you're going to be happy with, or are you going to make a call that you regret after the fact?
Right.
And so you just kind of take over, and you might only get a handful of those moments in your career if you're lucky. And so it was a blessing to have that moment when it happened.
And you did the Howie home run in Game 7 as well, right?
Yeah, right.
Right.
In the seventh inning,
Howie Kendrick, are you kidding me? Or
part two? Do you believe in part two?
Right.
Because
in
part one, I mean. Part of the end of the call, you're trying to describe what happened, mm-hmm. the significance of the moment, and then part of the emotion was like, do you believe it? The Nationals, they're going to win. Like mm-hmm. he hits that grand slam, they're going to win. Do you believe it? And mm-hmm. I was trying to convince myself, do I believe it? And then when Howie hit it again in Game 7, it's like, do you believe it? Part two,
right.
same guy, and he did it again. So. He had the knack for doing it in those innings.
You guys are obviously, you know, a team, but you call the game individually as the lead voice, depending on your inning, but then you interchange with each other. How long did it take, and I guess I'll ask you first, Dave, and then Charlie, how long did it take for you guys to build that, just that chemistry? Every team, we talked about this team needing the chemistry and the fun that they had, and the culture in the clubhouse was so good. How long did it take you guys to kind of build that chemistry where you weren't talking over each other and where you weren't jumping down each other's throats?
Well, the first spring training, 2006, mm-hmm. we kind of figured out. I think the first game we did, I think I was under the assumption that I was doing innings 7 and 8 instead of innings 5 and or 6 and 7. And so the fifth inning ended, and I was ready to go, go take a quick break in the men's room. And Charlie's like, where are you going? All of a sudden, we're back, and I'm like, oh, I got to do the game now. And
your switch was off, and you had to turn your switch
right
back on.
I don't know if maybe the first year you had done – for some reason, I thought I was doing the seventh and eighth inning. And all the years we've been together, I've done the sixth and seventh inning. And so it kind of threw me for a loop. The first game we ever did, right. It was a spring training game. Oh, I'm on the air in the sixth inning.
So you had
inning.
To figure it out
so
pretty
to
quickly.
So figure it out right there. So, I mean, I think from that first spring training is when we developed it. And then we had a pretty good – at least for as far as a broadcast situation, we had a clean slate early on because the team was not very good. So we had to make it entertaining,
mm-hmm.
or there was going to be no reason to listen. So
yeah,
that's a great way to build some chemistry
yes.
and rapport. Because if you're calling the game like a funeral, it's not going to be much fun to listen to.
When you're losing 90 to 100 games a year.
We had a lot of fill time.
You know, 05 was different. Like when we were talking with Chad Cordero and Brian mm-hmm. Schneider and those guys this morning, that year had an excitement unto itself
sure.
because it was the first year of the franchise after no baseball for 33 years. And the team was so good in the first half, 19 games over 500, and then played 19 under the second half and slid out of the postseason and all that.
Mm-hmm.
But 06 was pretty apparent early. The team wasn't going to be very good. I remember saying to Dave, I don't know how far into the season was because I didn't want to go off topic on tangents too much early because it was his first big league experience. So in my mind, it's like he's establishing himself
right.
as a big league broadcaster. But not too far into the season, I said, if we just stay on this path while the team is sliding, there's going to be no reason to, you know, oh, what's the score? Or we had to make it so, oh, they're losing, but these guys are funny or these guys are
entertaining. You guys had to do a talk show.
Right.
Yeah, not a talk show like this big dummy has to do all the time.
Right.
But you guys had to do essentially a baseball talk show, right?
And we had, you know, we got lucky.
We
had some strange things happen. You know, when Stan Kasten was here, no game was ever rained out. You just delay it forever. You start at like 11:42 at night, right?
I've stared into that light standard on the first base side looking for the raindrops for half my life, it seems like.
Right. But when we were at RFK, remember the game that didn't start till
11:30 at night.
Right. And it ended at like 1:42 in the morning.
It was after 2, yeah.
So we were talking – one of the things that was pretty funny – you know, we're talking about how many, you know, the core people, the right. diehards stayed here. And then right. Dave goes, and look at that group up in the first base side in the upper deck. That, you know, this big
down.
Group hung around. I go, I don't know, Dave. It's after 11. I think that's actually the cleaning crew is here waiting to clean the park. They're all in uniform. I said, I don't know what group that is, but it looks like the cleaning crew. It's kind of like when we're in San Francisco and day game goes extra
yeah,
getaway
yeah,
day game
yeah.
goes extra innings and the seagulls,
are
circling
right?
for like three innings because to them it was supposed to be feeding time
yeah, right.
but nobody's leaving.
They're used to eating at like 4:30 in the afternoon out there and you're still playing ball
yeah.
in the 13th inning trying to get home after a 10-day road trip. Dave Jagler, Charlie Slows, the voices of the Washington Nationals, the World Series champion Washington Nationals on 106.7 The Fan and the Washington Nationals Radio Network with us here from Nats Winterfest. So I asked Charlie, you know, like cool memorabilia. When did it sink in for you that you were a part of, you know, again, you guys are the voices of this team. You guys get to call all the games. You guys don't take days off and weeks off. You guys are there every freaking day and night. When did it sink into you that you were part of something really, really special?
Well, not till the parade.
Yeah.
I mean, the parade was when it really hit me because, not the unfortunate, but game 7 ends, and actually we kind of have to slip into a different – you're really in work mode. You didn't get a chance to enjoy the actual winning of the World Series because after we kind of made a closing comment, I had to sprint down to the field.
Right, right,
and
right.
I was getting a few interviews before they did the trophy presentation.
Yep.
Then we carried the trophy presentation. And then they go in the clubhouse. And as each clinching, they had five clinching ceremonies.
Yeah.
Each one got more difficult because there were more people around.
Yes.
Each successive round where they clinched. So it got harder and harder to kind of get the key guys that you wanted to get for our post-game show. So you're really in work mode, and you can't be in fan mode or, you know, enjoy it mode until later. And then when the parade hit, and my family was with me, and we're in the car in the open convertible and taking the turn, going down Constitution, that's when it kind of hit. Okay,
mm-hmm.
And you're looking up, and you know certain buildings you're seeing Nats fans 25, 30, 35 deep. Okay,
and then I looked up and I said, "Hey, the Rooster's on the top of the Canadian Embassy. There he is."
You did not. You guys were too busy.
Well, no, I was on with you guys earlier
that morning, so you told me
you were going to be there.
You're right. I forgot about that. You're absolutely right. All right, one last thing, because I think we have to let you guys go. I don't know. I think we're just making up our rules as we go along. The chemistry between you two guys, you know, I think a lot of people really appreciate that. How do you now take it to another level now that you guys have won the World Series? Do you do anything different, or are you just
we'll be the same. I mean, spring training, part of me is like, do we really want this season to start? Because I'd like to bask in the afterglow for a little longer. Because once the next season starts, it's about the 2020 Nationals. Obviously, the front office has moved on. They've made their moves as far as getting different guys slated for this coming season. But to me, February 22nd, I'll do the lineups. I'll toss it to him, and we're going to call a baseball game. That's
what
we
do.
So if they're going to play baseball February 22nd, we're going to be doing it here on 106.7 The Fan. And then March 26th at Citi Field, try to raise another banner.
Yeah, but
we'll be there to call whatever happens.
But April 3rd, they'll raise this banner here. A couple of days later, players will get the rings. And that banner is going to be up there forever. And so none of that's – we can bask in that forever.
Well, yep. And like I told Charlie, I said, you never have to pay for a steak dinner again. He says, well, I don't know if that'll work. And just show the ring that you have. Just like when they give you the check, just say, here, take this.
Well,
think that'll work?
I got to get that ring first.
You'll get it.
All right. One cool thing, though, about this Winterfest, this is the first time the Nats have brought back some of their former players. And now that this team is 15 years in and year 16 going to be starting, it's been cool to see how the fans interact with Chad Cordero and Brian Schneider from the original team and Justin Maxwell and Adam LaRoche, who played in succeeding years. And you're going to have one of those guys here. But those guys have been very popular. We appreciate them coming in. And that kind of shows the growth of where it was. I told the story with Schneider. My first ever thing I did was not a game. It was a winter caravan.
Yep.
And there was not nearly the turnout for a winter caravan that there was here for this Winterfest, which has been sold out. So it's been tremendous to see the growth of the franchise and these guys coming back, a reflection of that.
No, absolutely. It helps build baseball for legacies or for decades to come, and you build the legacy and all that stuff. And a World Series championship helps. The voices of the Washington Nationals, Dave Jagler, Charlie Slows, have been with us. So glad to see you guys both. Congratulations, obviously, to y'all, and I can't wait to hear you guys back on the radio calling games doing what you guys do so good.
Thank you, sir. We'll
appreciate it. Charlie Slows, Dave Jagler. Make sure you give them a hand, Nationals fans. And we are going to be joined by Justin Maxwell coming up as well. I know Adam LaRoche is going to be down here at some point, and we got some other people coming. And I think I just saw one guy, and we're going to have a lot of fun and talk Nationals baseball with you on 106.7 The Fan. All right, everybody, we welcome you back to Nats Winterfest here at the Nats Team Store, center field gate. I'm Chris Russell. Good to have you with us at 106.7 The Fan, your flagship station for the Washington Nationals. We're with you live until 2. We'll be staying around after 2 o'clock for some more player interviews and guest interviews, and we have another stopping by here. One of the guys that played for this team in the early years, I guess, of the franchise here at Nationals Park, and he's doing some analyst work for Masson, and he's also doing something really cool that I'm going to set up and get to in a little bit. It's Justin Maxwell. He's with us here on The Fan. How are you?
I'm doing good, Chris. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, thanks for joining us and coming by. This is pretty cool, right? I mean, you were part of this franchise. A lot of unfortunate, tough days at the office, if you will. And then to see what this team, and I know you were around a little bit last year,
right,
to see what this team has now built into and culminating it with a World Series championship.
Yeah, I was here when they called it the Caravan, which, you know, caravans are kind of small. Right. Now it's a festival.
Yeah, Dave was just saying,
and
the Caravan,
huge.
Right. Exactly.
I mean, it's incredible to see all the fans, and the weather cooperated very well. So, you know, I'm really excited for this club, really excited for the franchise, and most importantly, I'm excited for the fans.
What do you – I mean, clearly everybody talks about the 19-31 start last year. We can talk about that being the, you know, the key thing or whatever. I think it was Parra and taking a tight bunch and loosening them up. I mean, he turned Steven Strasburg into like a real live human being.
Oh, right.
Right?
I mean, I see the baby shark holding the World Series trophy. I mean, I think that describes everything, right? And it shows what the kind of clubhouse that the guys have.
Right.
Like when I was here, you know, and on some of the other clubs, the clubhouses weren't as tightly knit as this group of guys were. And playing in a season, a long season, 162-game season, you got to have a bunch of guys who you're happy to go see every single day. You know, I'm not saying that there weren't moments where guys were, like, kind of annoyed with one another.
Right.
But to have that same group of guys come together, and I think it all starts at the top. When you have a manager who stayed positive just the way Davey Martinez is, and when you look over at him, you don't see any panic in anything that he does. The guys want to fight for a guy like
so
that.
So from a player perspective, that when you don't see the worry or the panic, like you said, in his eyes and in his voice, it makes it easier for you to do your job.
Yeah, and I think even more important than that is the positivity, because baseball is a tough game. Right. I remember watching my very first game after I decided to retire, sitting in the stands, and I was watching a pitch go across the plate. I was like, Lord, that is fast. I was like, I'm definitely going to stay retired. But, you know, as hard as the game of baseball is, when you have a manager who stays positive, doesn't panic, sees the overall process, sees the end goal, has the end goal in mind, not too worried about what's going on currently, and just tries to win each and every game individually, you want to have a guy like that in your corner, because at the end of the season, you're going to be in a good place. And, you know, we are in the best place.
No doubt about it. When this team lost those three games here at the World Series after winning the first two in Houston, be honest, like, did you think they had a decent chance of recovering, or were you like most people where you're like, boy, this is like trying to climb Mount Everest without any shoes on?
Yeah, I mean, you definitely would think that, but I knew that our pitching was just great. I mean, to have Steven come out and pitch as well as he did the entire postseason, and then, you know, I was just praying and hoping that Max's back was going to loosen up so he can get back on that mound for Game 7. I felt like we were in a good place.
Right.
I was just surprised that they didn't use Gerrit Cole in that last game. Thankfully, they didn't. And maybe that was why he made the hiatus to the Yankees.
Oh,
but, you know, I'm not sad that they didn't either. So it was a great situation for DC, for all the players, for all the ups and downs, all the guys, and, you know, you said the building phase, all the guys who were here from the beginning. I think we all – I saw so many photos of my old teammates wearing their Nats jerseys, just to see the guys who were here in the beginning, to see what the Lerner family has done here in D.C., and to see the Nats end up out on top. You know, it makes the fans hungry. So now we're going to get greedy a little bit, right? We want more than one.
Absolutely. I mean, why not get two? I mean, you know, and then eventually you can get, like, one for the thumb.
That's right.
Five?
Yeah.
We got
eight digits and two thumbs,
right?
Right? So let's fill them all up.
I mean, if you can get all four and then you go for the draft, I mean, we're just plotting out the next 5 years here, right?
Right.
Well, the next 4 years.
Well, even still, when you look at what we've done so far this offseason, getting Steven back, we got four horses again at the top of our rotation.
And I love what they've done in the bullpen.
Yeah, great. I mean, that was the one spot where I was worried as an analyst. When I'm looking at the World Series stuff, I'm like, well, I hope Steven, Max, I hope they all can go. Anibal, I hope they can get eight innings.
Right.
And then, you know, we get the closer in the game, but to see us to get Steven, pitching wins. And when you have a guy like that, when you have guys like that at the top, you're gonna keep runs off the board.
Justin Maxwell with us, does some analyst work for Mass, and you're going to do some of that hopefully a little bit this year, right?
Yeah. Whenever my schedule can fit it in, I start seeing patients here in June, so I'm excited for that. You know, I'm at the University of Maryland School of Dentistry
now. So that's where we wanted to go. So how in the world do you go from being baseball player to dentist, which is like one of the people that you do not want to see as a human? You're like, oh God, the dentist.
I mean, it's all about perspective, right? Both my parents are retired dentists, so if I said to them, you know what, I don't really like you because you're a dentist, you know, I wouldn't be getting many Christmas presents, you know. But thankfully,
so it's,
you know,
in the blood.
In the blood. I was an animal science major at the University of Maryland. Going into it, I knew I could either go into veterinary medicine or dental school, and then just when I retired, I kind of took some time to decide, and I chose dentistry because I enjoyed meeting new people and, you know, having good relationships as well. And then also, too, I have pretty amazing tutors at home when I have any questions at school. So, you know, I just decided on that, and I'm actually at the very first dental school in the world in Baltimore. A lot of people don't know that. Yeah, they got a cool plaque outside.
So you're learning from where it all started.
And they have a pretty cool dental museum if you guys ever want to go check it out.
And this is at the University of Maryland in Baltimore.
Yep, the University of Maryland School of Dentistry. It's right behind Shock Trauma. It's right there in the heart of D.C., a couple blocks from Camden Yards. We don't really talk about that place down here at Nats Park. But, yeah, it's a great place, great school. I learned a lot. My faculty there have been really awesome to work with, and, you know, looking forward to it.
Last thing, and then we'll let you go, Justin Maxwell, with us. You know, the team that this team beat, you played for the Astros at one point in your career. It looks like Major League Baseball is going to come down pretty hard on them. From a baseball player perspective and now an analyst perspective, how big of an advantage do you think that gave them, whatever they're accused of, and how severe should the punishments be?
Yeah, I mean, it's pretty alarming, to be honest with you, because I know as a hitter, when I played, there were some things that our coaches would notice, and we would have verbal cues to get guys ready to hit based on what the catcher was doing, or if the pitcher came set a certain way.
That's scouting.
part of the game. I had a coach who had a visual impairment, and he said he made his whole career on watching pitchers make tipping their pitches and like certain tendencies. So he was instrumental in helping me at times. When you watch the video, when you kind of hear the bangs in the dugout, like, wow. I mean, I wish I kind of was still playing in a way, because it makes your job so much easier. When you can eliminate pitches, like if I face a guy who's throwing 98 and I knew that they couldn't get their slider across, I would just eliminate the slider and sit fastball. But now if you got a guy who can command those pitches, but then you're getting help from the side, I mean, that's when the cheating element comes into play, because it really makes the hitter have so much more of an advantage than they should have. I mean, like I said, baseball is hard enough, but when you have guys helping you out like that, then the game becomes a little bit easier. I mean, honestly, when I step back and think about some of the at-bats that I noticed from the Astros in certain series, I could see how impressive. Like when you're facing Aroldis Chapman and you're not biting on any of his sliders, then you start to wonder, like, okay. When you think back, because I, you know, being a fan, you don't hear that.
Right.
But when you watch the replay, then you can kind of hear it. But you can see how that could be.
It's the integrity of the game,
right? You can see how that is wrong and how that shouldn't, you know, something's got to happen.
So
it's going to be bad.
Like a guy like A.J. Hinch, their manager, probably going to be a 30-game suspension or something like that.
The commissioner's got a real tough task with setting precedent on how he's going to discipline the club, but it's going to be pretty heavy. You know, hopefully to a point where it makes them, you know, kind of lose what they've built, the dynasty that they've built. They have to do something to hurt that, because, you know, they've built such a strong club over the last 3 years that if you don't do anything harsh enough, then, you know, they're just going to continue to be great. And it's going to entice other teams to make that decision, because to say, hey, the commissioner didn't really hurt us. You know, maybe we'll jump in here so we can get an advantage and get that World Series championship.
Justin Maxwell, he's going to school at the University of Maryland School of Dentistry, class of 2022. So you're going to go into business for yourself? What are you going to do?
I kind of got excited when you said 20. I'm like, really? Am I graduating this year? No. Two more years. You know, I kind of haven't decided what I want to do yet. I want to learn as much as I can. I want to be the best clinician that I can be. And more importantly, I want to, you know, do a good job. So the more information, the more practice and experience that I get, you know, the better off I'll be in the
Awesome. Lower. And watch him on Masson this year, and I'm sure he'll be around the ballpark, at Justin Maxwell 43 as well on Twitter, so you can tweet him. Just say nice things, unlike all you guys do to me.
I got to change it to DDS one day.
There you go. You can do that. Make that easy. Congratulations on everything you've done. Thanks for stopping by. Thanks for a couple of good minutes.
All right, thanks, Chris.
Justin
Appreciate
Maxwell
it.
Here at Nats Winterfest. We'll come on back for another 25 minutes live on 106.7 The Fan, and then we'll be staying around to do some more interviews after that. Here at the Nats Team Store, Nats Winterfest continues on The Fan. All right, we welcome you back to Nats Winterfest. Good to have you aboard with us. We are at the Nationals Team Store. Outside the center field gate, or inside the center field gate, I guess, is more appropriate. Thanks for being here. We've had such nice people stopping on by, and fans all excited to honor the 2019 World Series champion Washington Nationals. I think Dan Colco from Masson, and you hear him on Nats Insider on 106.7 The Fan each and every Saturday during the baseball season. We'll be stopping by, and then after 2 o'clock, we're going to take you into Virginia Tech basketball on the Fan. But I'm staying around. We're going to record some interviews, and we're going to record some interviews. I think Adam LaRoche is scheduled to stand by, and then we're scheduled to have a couple of key, let's just call them key battery components of last year's World Series championship team. So I just don't want to spoil it just in case something happens, but you may want to be here in the Nats team store at Nats Winterfest. Hope you guys are having a great time. I'm Chris Russell again. As we look back at this Nationals team real quickly here, and I'm interested in Dan's opinion on this when we have him. You know, we all know how bad the bullpen was for the most part last year. There were times where it was tolerable, I guess is the best way, and yet they still won a World Series championship, right? But you had to burn a lot of extra, you know, innings and all that wear and tear on to go on a normal postseason run. You do that, but because this team didn't have a quote unquote normal bullpen, they had to ride the starters a lot longer and a lot harder in the postseason. So I wonder if that was the direct impetus for investing the money in Will Harris and retaining Daniel Hudson, along with Doolittle, along with the other guys that they have, or whether they were just going to do that anyway because they got, quite honestly, sick of having a terrible bullpen, and it was awful. No, you know, I mean, we're not cutting any corners here. It was not good, right? So I'm just curious kind of the philosophy. I wish I had the ability to ask Rizzo that. I know he was on with Nick and Tommy, so I'm not sure if – I'm sure he talked about that, but I didn't get to hear the answer. So we'll ask Dan Colco that. We'll ask some of the other guys that were very happy to be here, again, live with you until 2 o'clock on 106.7 The Fan, and we'll be staying around afterwards. Don't forget Caps and Devils coming up tonight. I think Tim Parker and myself are heading over there for a little hockey on a Saturday night in the nation's capital, and back here tomorrow morning at 9 a.m. with Tom Lavero, myself. We'll have plenty of players, coaches stopping on by, and then we will have Craig Heist and Byron Kerr hosting after that. So we have you covered for Nats Winterfest, and hey, what a perfect time to do it. They are the World Series champion Washington Nationals for 2019, and the party will and must go on. Back in a flash for our final segment together with Dan Colco, scheduled to join us of Masson and 106.7 The Fan and Nats Insider. That's next right here on The Fan from Nats Winterfest at the Nats Team Store inside the center field gate on The Fan. And we're back here at the Nats Team Store, center field gate and entry and exit. Good to have you with us at Nats Winterfest as we celebrate the 2019 World Series champion, Washington Nationals. Dan Colco expected to join us here in a moment. We're with you until just before 2 o'clock, Virginia Tech basketball at that point. And then, like I've been saying all along, I'm going to stay around until about 2:45, 3 o'clock, recording some interviews. We're scheduled to have some good names and stuff, so you may want to check that out. And we'll be replaying those interviews as part of the show tomorrow morning between 9 and noon with Tom Lavero, who was here earlier with Nick Ashew. And if you missed any of their interviews with Steven Strasburg, Mike Rizzo, and a bunch of other people, you just simply are in luck. You go to the radio.com app, which you should already have on your phone, and you go to the rewind feature, and you can listen back in time 24 hours. So you can hear, if you haven't had enough of my annoying, loud, ridiculous voice, you can listen to my show from last night for 4 hours. Then you can listen to Nick and Tom and Rizzo and Strasburg and all the big heavy hitters from this morning from 9 to noon. Then you can listen to me interview Trey Turner, Chip Hale, Carter Kieboom, Charlie, Dave, Justin Maxwell, who we just had on, and everyone else that we're going to have for the rest of this hour. And again, we'll have more guests throughout the morning tomorrow. So as you're driving back here to Nationals Park and coming to the last and final day of Nats Winterfest, you can certainly listen to all of that coverage. Boy, it was really weird walking around the concourse. I know they had the Enchant Christmas thing here for basically a little over a month. To see the field as torn up as it is from having all of the, I don't know what they put, the wood planks or whatever it is, on the field, and just to see them, I mean, quite honestly, it looks like a demolition derby out there. It looks like, well, the rest of Southeast Washington, D.C. does. It was just weird to see that. Right now, as we mentioned, we are joined by Masson's Dan Kulko, who also hosts on 106.7 The Fan on Saturdays. We assume it'll stay on Saturdays. Nats Insider, usually right around noon. How are you, sir?
I'm great, Chris. How are you?
I'm great. Happy New Year.
And to you.
Hope you're having a good but short offseason, right?
Yeah, I think everyone would sign up for a shortened offseason if it's on these terms. Yeah, a month less for the players to recover and for us to get in a little bit of downtime, but I think we're all very good with that.
Before we get into the team, I wanted to ask you, I try and ask some different questions, whatever, to kind of, you know, talk about the journeys of everyone. You've been here for a long time. You covered it as a beat reporter. Then you were with Masson, obviously doing the dugout and field reporting, if you will. You traveled to every game,
right.
And you're still obviously in the Masson broadcast, but now you're in a different role.
Mm-hmm.
I know you're happy for everybody, but was it hard to not be down on the field and in Houston and as they won the World Series after all that you've been through just individually?
Sure. It was an adjustment moving from the role where you're so close to the action, you're down in the dugout, and you're traveling with the team everywhere they go, to now being a little bit more removed from it. You know, we do our studio shows, in the Baltimore area, so instead of being in Atlanta or New York for a big game, I'm watching on TV in a studio. But I knew what I was signing up for.
Right.
I went into this eyes wide open, and this was a job that really intrigued me, and I had a ton of fun in the first season doing the shows with Bo Porter.
Right.
We really enjoyed it.
Bo's great.
He's fantastic.
He's really good.
He knows the game inside and out, obviously. And, would I have ideally loved to have been there in Houston for the celebration and to watch it all go down? Of course, but I mean, we had our own fun in the studio watching, as everyone did that was watching at home, and then the parade was a day that I'm never going to forget. So it was a heck of a year, and a couple of the players have made jokes with me over the last handful of weeks, like, we just had to get you off the charter, and then we were going to win it all. So, yeah, Bob Carpenter agrees, he says, right in front of us.
That was the key. So the underrated key, what we're saying is the underrated key to the Nationals turn around a 19-31 season was not having Kulko on the charter.
You can talk about Mike Rizzo's in-season additions and picking up Daniel
Gerardo
Hudson.
Gerardo Parra. It was kicking Kulko off the charter.
Steven Strasburg having the most epic October you've ever seen. No, it's just getting rid of me, and it was bound to happen.
Yeah. See, when I got kicked off the Redskins charter after 6 years, they still continued to suck. They didn't win a World Series.
All right, so we got to continue to tinker with that system and figure out what'll get them
them
on track.
Masson's Dan Kulko with us. Also, you can hear Nats Insider throughout the baseball season on 106.7 The Fan. All right, so let's get into this from a moving ahead standpoint, because we could talk about last year forever and who
we
doesn't
sure
want
could,
to.
And we probably will.
Actually, let's do one thing on that, and then I'm more curious on what you think of moving ahead. The most underrated thing that happened last year that people are not buzzing about. I mean, everybody talks about 19-31 and Parra Shark and the dancing and all that. The most underrated thing, in your opinion, was?
I'm going to say the evolution of Steven Strasburg, not as a pitcher, but as...
I like that.
As, I don't want to say as a human, because he's always been a good human, but in terms of just coming out of his shell a little bit
feeling
more maybe confident in himself and more confident around his teammates. And, we expect players to all grow and mature and come along on the same trajectory. Not everyone is a Juan Soto that's going to, act like he's 35 years old when he's 20. People don't follow the same track. And Steven Strasburg has been around for a while now, and he's been a really good pitcher for a while. But he's always been reserved, and he's always, been comfortable being in the background. And I think within the last year, some of it, Gerardo Parra and Aníbal Sanchez helping bring him out of his shell, but also I think he's just becoming more confident in himself as a baseball player. He's even said it as a husband, as a father. He's growing up. And I did a session with him, a kids' press conference session, a little bit earlier, where he's joking around with kids, these little children that he's never met before. And he seems like a different dude to me than he has
I'm
been
with
in the past.
I love that answer.
He's always been a great guy, and, you know, he's always been a really good pitcher, but I think he's evolving as a teammate and coming out of his shell a little bit more, and I think that only means better things for him as a ballplayer as well.
Obviously, the culture here is great, and it has been for a long time. It just came up short in October. But again, last year was, you could see that chemistry building, that clubhouse dugout thing, like you said, Strasburg morphing into what he has become, all of that. How do you think this team goes about repeating that with no Rendon, with no Parra, looks like no Dozier, some of the key guys? I mean, I know some of the key guys are still here, but some of the key guys now that were part of that are gone.
Well, here's the thing that's most important, Chris, is that you cannot replicate it. You can't take what worked in 2019 and try and do the shark again and try and do the dancing again.
It's got to be authentic.
It's a different team. And what made those things so effective and fun in 2019 is they were organic.
Yeah.
They just happened. And then they were embraced by the fans and by the clubhouse and by everyone.
Point.
If you try and do the same thing, it's not going to work. It's going to fall flat. It's going to feel forced. So you need to go with the flow. We didn't see these trends, the dancing and the shark and all these things, until what, June, July?
Right.
You need to.
You're right. They didn't start in April.
They're going to have new guys this year, and they need to, as a unit, figure out what works for them, what brings them together, what clicks. And so, you know, the most important thing is having talent. Secondly, is having good chemistry and guys that like being around each other, which they still have. And then you got to figure out, you know, kind of all the other elements that tie it all together.
One last thing for you. We have to break in about 2 minutes, so I'll squeeze it in. I'll ask the question as short, which is not easy for me. They signed Will Harris to a big contract.
Mm-hmm.
They bring back Daniel Hudson. Some people were surprised, especially after signing Harris. And, of course, Doolittle and Suero and all those. So it looks like the bullpen is fortified. Do you think that change in philosophy, spending bigger money than they have in the past on the bullpen, was a direct reaction to the struggles of last year? Or do you think somewhere in Mike Rizzo's mind, his philosophy of building a roster and roster construction and ideology kind of changed a little bit?
Well, you think back the last handful of years, and what have they always needed to do at the deadline is add bullpen pieces. So, you know, the bullpen was a problem last year during the regular season to begin with.
Yeah.
So you need to add arms. Now, they did last year sign Trevor Rosenthal to a $7 million deal, so it's not like they haven't spent.
It was just a one-year deal.
Sure, that's true, and there are no.
It was a
shot. The saying in baseball is there are no bad one-year deals.
Right.
I think they understood, especially when you talk about losing Rendon, you're not going to make up Anthony Rendon's offensive production. You're just not. So how do you continue to win? You get better in other areas. You fortify the bullpen. You make sure that the starting rotation is deep and strong. You make sure your defense is good. All these other different pieces, you strengthen those, and you add it all together, and you hope that you're going to still be, you know, a 90, 92, 93 win team and be there in the end.
Dan, thanks for stopping by.
You got it, Chris.
Congratulations, obviously, on being a part of this organization and doing all the great work that you've done over the years on Masson. Look forward to seeing you again this year. I mean, you know, obviously we watch all the games, and you guys do a great job, you know, kind of taking us in and giving us some of the insights. So I appreciate you stopping by.
You got it, Chris.
Take care. Dan Coco from Masson. Of course, you can hear Nats Insider on 106.7 The Fan. He's been a part of that. Thanks to everybody here for making our day and our 2 hours here, and really the last 5 hours live, so good. We are going to stay around and do a couple of other interviews, so you guys are more than welcome to stay here at the Nats Team Store and watch who comes by, but they will not be live on the radio. We're going to take you to Virginia Tech basketball here on 106.7 The Fan. I'm back with you along with Tom Levero tomorrow morning at 9 a.m. Caps Devils later on tonight. Make sure you stay tuned on 106.7 The Fan. Adios.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world.
Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic? And conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.